God has given to each one of us a mind, and it is to be used for His honor and glory. You know, the mind is very powerful, and it really reflects upon the great Creator that we have. A long time ago, I heard a story, and I probably can't remember all the details exactly, but I believe it was about a man who was in a, I think he was in prison. He might have been in a prisoner of war camp. And in prison, I believe he was a prisoner of war, but he would practice golf in his mind while he was in prison. And when he got out, he went to the golf course and I believe was able to do a par game on the golf course because he had practiced it in his mind. Not too long ago, we were at Falls, and there was a man there that was doing a clinic on practicing. And one of the things that he talked about was mental practice and training the mind and how important it is to over and over do certain things in your mind. You know, our minds are very powerful. It's been estimated that we think between 50 to 70,000 thoughts every day. That's a lot of thoughts. 50 to 75,000. I think the math in that for a minute is between 35 to 48. Now I might get somebody that's gonna tune out of the message and do the math quick. But anyways, we think a lot of thoughts every day. You know, what is occupying your mind? We had a message on Wednesday night. We looked at a number of things that need to be taken out of our minds. Things that will hinder our minds from thinking correctly. Things that will hinder us from serving God like we ought. We looked at, a mind occupied by self-ambition, a mind occupied by pride, a mind occupied by the flesh, a mind occupied by defilement, a mind occupied by earthly things, a mind occupied by worry. There was one that we did not look at, and it's a mind occupied by the devil. In Luke chapter 8, there was a man who was possessed with the devil, but after it was cast out of him, the Bible says that he was sitting, and this is in Luke chapter 8 and verse number 35, he was sitting at the feet of Jesus, he was clothed and he was in his right mind. You know, before he was wandering in the tombs, but when he was in his right mind, where was he? He was sitting at the feet of Jesus. He was sitting at the feet of Jesus. You know, many people in the world think you're crazy if you're consumed with a passion for Jesus Christ. But the Bible says that is right thinking when you're sitting at the feet of Jesus. The Bible also says he was clothed. You know, it's abnormal, the Bible teaches, to take your clothes off and to not wear clothes. And this was a crazy man. He was characterized by being unclothed. But in his right mind, he was clothed. In his wrong mind, he was cutting himself. You know, we live in a day and age in which people are beginning, you know, people are cutting themselves. Well, that's somebody that's out of their right mind. But when they're in their right mind, they're sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him. And then what did he do? Being a witness for him. But today this morning I'd like to look at the right things that our mind ought to be occupied with. You know, we need to put off the wrong things out of our mind, but then we need to replace those with the right kind of thinking. What should our mind be occupied by? You know, those 50 to 70,000 thoughts. What should be occupying those thoughts that we think? Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. First of all, I'd like us to see that our mind should be occupied by the glory of God. Our minds should be occupied by the glory of God. We should be living our lives to glorify God. And what's one way that that can take place? Let's begin reading in verse number 1 of Romans 15. It says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves." Now remember, one of the things that we are to empty ourselves of is self-ambition. And it says here, we ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. The idea of patience is endurance. Comfort there would be encouragement. Might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation. All right, so here's the God of patience, the God of endurance, the God of consolation, the one that encourages us. Grant you to be like-minded, one toward another, according to Christ Jesus. So notice that. They grant you to be like-minded, one toward another. Then notice verse 6. That ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Our minds here are to be occupied by the glory of God. In fact, God wants us as believers, if you're a believer this morning, if you are one that has accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, as the only sacrifice for your sin, we are to be united in our thinking, in our mouths, glorifying God. But you know what? That is going to be hindered by selfish ambition. That's going to be hindered by selfish ambition. In the first verse, it says we ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to what? Please ourselves. It says here in verse 2, let every one of us please his what? His neighbor. It says verse 3, Christ left us the example. Christ pleased what? Not himself. It says in verse number 4, the God 5, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, one toward another. So we find here that God wants believers to be living a selfless life, that they can be unified in their glory, in living lives that are to the glory of God. But guess what? That's going to be hindered by selfish ambitions. When we're looking out for our own needs, when we're looking out for what is best for myself, it is going to hinder us from our minds being unified in giving glory to God. Notice what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 10. What God desires of believers. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse number 10. He says, now I beseech you. All right, he's imploring with them. He's pleading with them. I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing. And that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. So here again we see the unity that God wants to have among believers. It says they're to be perfectly joined together in the same mind. You know, some people might say, you know what? Maybe even in the marriage relationship, you're like, I don't even feel like sometimes I'm joined together in the same mind with your spouse. How am I supposed to be joined together with all the believers in the church with the same mind? Well, obviously it takes what? It takes selflessness. It takes being submitted to the Lord. It takes setting ourselves aside. And it says there in verse number 11, it says, "For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you." You know, one, he says, "Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ." You know, and here maybe one was claiming, well, hey, this person's my leader. This person's my leader. This person's my leader. This is the one that I'm following. And they were all getting off instead of realizing that God's will is for the church to be unified around the glory of God. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Second Corinthians 13, verse 11. It says, "Finally, brethren, farewell." And notice what he leaves them with. He says, "Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be," notice it again, "be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you." You know, what hinders the God of love and peace from being with you? Well, it's not being of one mind. It's not living in peace. And you want the presence of God in your home? Have a peaceful home. What does it say in Colossians chapter 3? It talks about letting the peace of God rule. All right, it's the idea of God umpiring. All right, it's the peace of God that calls the plays, so to speak. This is how your home operates, by God's peace ruling. And, you know, if it's not going to create for peace, then don't do it. So here we have, again, them being of one mind. Go over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 2. It says, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the what? Having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." Then the very next verse, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory." So you have to take self out of the picture. "But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." You know, when this life is going to be lived for the glory of God, when believers are going to be united, that they might with one mouth and one mind live to the glory of God. Again, what has to be set aside? Strife, vainglory. It takes lowliness. It takes humility of mind. You know, sometimes our inclination can automatically be to think that, you know, our idea is the best idea. And, you know, maybe we'll give in to their idea, but we still think that our idea is the best idea. You know, but what does it say? "In lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." And it says, "Let this what? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation." You know, many times we're trying to what? Defend ourselves. We want to build up our own personal reputation. But Christ was willing to make himself of no reputation. And so here we find that God wants believers to be of one mind. And obviously that one mind is around the truth, but it takes setting self-interest aside. In Philippians chapter 1, in verse number 27, Paul declared what he wanted this one mind to be concerned with. It says, "Only let your conversation be as it become the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." He wanted them to be unified in their efforts to see the gospel go forward. You know, but what hinders that? Well, again, it's those little things of self that get in the way. And, you know, we can look at our own lives and think, you know, is there something wrong with us? Well, guess what? Believers back in the first century, you know, they struggled with the same thing. They had to get over the same things. And you know what? The Bible is just as relevant today as it was back then. You know, we need to be occupied by the glory of God. And self is the enemy of our minds being occupied by His glory. But then secondly, I'd like us to see, what should our mind be occupied? Not only should our minds be occupied by the glory of God, but secondly, our mind should be occupied by the will of God. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4. You know, is your mind occupied by the glory of God? Who are you trying to lift up in your life? Who are you trying to receive the glory, the exaltation? You know, if we want to be seen by men, then who are we lifting up? Well, we're lifting up self. But if we'll do right no matter what, well, now the glory of God's being lifted up. 1 Peter chapter 4. It says, verse number 1, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God." You know, it says, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. That he no longer should live the rest of his time, verse 2, in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. You know, is that what consumes your mind? That I want to live and accomplish God's will for my life. I want to accomplish God's will for my life. I want His mind for my life to be my mind for my life. Go over to 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Here we find Eli had some wicked sons who were seeking, who were living for themselves. You know, they were using the priesthood for their own purposes. They were using the priesthood to get things for themselves. And unfortunately, Eli did not stand up to his family and say, "No, this is wrong. This is going to stop." And it says here in 1 Samuel 2 and verse number 35, as the prophet of God is speaking, the man of God is speaking unto Eli, and he's speaking to him the words of God. And it says, "And I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever. Notice what kind of a priest God wanted. He wanted a faithful priest, one that what would do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind. You know, is that the goal of your life today? That I would do what is in the mind of God? Do his thoughts, does his will, do they consume your thinking? You know, if God's will consumes your thinking, you're not going to get so easily bent out of shape when something goes against your self-will. You know, because you're living for what? You're living for God's will. You know, Christ in the temple, what was he concerned about? He walked into the temple and he saw all these men selling. He saw all these men living for selfish ambitions. And he what? He was concerned about it. He had righteous indignation because they weren't what? Fulfilling the will of God. But many times we get bent out of shape. Why? Because it's something that goes against our will. But we need to have our minds occupied with the will of God. And you know, Eli here, notice verse number 27, what Eli did. It says, "Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation." I'm in 1 Samuel 2:29. "And honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people." Here we find Eli elevated his family above God. You know, obviously our families are important, but what should be elevated? Well, the will of God is what should be elevated in our lives. And Eli here put his sons and the will of his sons above the will of God. And what were his sons doing? They were living for themselves. They were living to make themselves prosperous, to make themselves rich, instead of living to see the will of God accomplished. What occupies your mind? What occupies those 50 to 70,000 thoughts every day? Is it seeing the will of God accomplished? You know, David had a desire. David had a desire to serve God, to see the temple built. You know, his mind there was what? Was consumed with seeing this temple built. And he spent much of his life preparing. Go over to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. First Chronicles 28 and verse number 9, and now he's instructing his son Solomon. And he says, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." No, that's amazing. He understandeth all the imagination of the thoughts. In Psalm 139, it talks about God understands our thought afar off. You know, God knows what you're going to be thinking about tomorrow. He knows what you're going to be thinking about before you even think about it. You know, God knows exactly what you are thinking right now in your mind. You know, God knows if you're thinking about the message. Or he knows if you're, you know, thinking about lunch. Now everyone's thinking about lunch because I mentioned it, right? You know, God knows what you're thinking about. You know, our minds need to be occupied by the will of God. It says, if thou seek him, he will be found of thee. Is your mind occupied by the will of God? You know, when believers are united in thinking about seeing God's will accomplished, great things can happen. You know, in Nehemiah's day, what took place? Well, in Nehemiah, the people, it says, Nehemiah 4:6, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together under the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. You know, the people were unified together in their mind to work, in their mind to see the will of God accomplished. To see the wall of Jerusalem built up. You know, it was a disgrace. And they were united in their work, and great things were accomplished. You know, God wants to see his people united in their minds to see his will accomplished in the world in which we live. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 19, the testimony of the Apostle Paul, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind. Paul's focus of his mind was what? Serving the Lord. You know, what did it take? It took humility of mind. You know, another reminder. If we're going to be occupied by the will of God, what has to go down? Self. We got to have humility. We got to set our own pride aside and be willing to elevate the will of God. So we need to have a mind that are occupied by the glory of God. We need to have minds that are occupied by the will of God. But thirdly, I'd like us to see that we need to have a mind that is occupied by the Word of God. You know, and obviously this is going to enable some of these others to take place. Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 8, a familiar verse to many. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. That sounds like a what? A mind that is occupied by the Word of God. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Allowing God's Word to penetrate, to really surround our minds is what? The key to success in life. If you want to have real success in life, you know, don't find some book that says 13 keys to successful living. You know, get the Word of God and meditate on it. Follow it. Allow it to change your life. Allow it to change your thinking. You know, do we believe that God is all wise, that God is omniscient? Yes, he's full of wisdom. He's full of knowledge. And if you want that wisdom applied in your life, then you need to allow it to penetrate your mind. You need to allow it to change your thinking. It's the key to success. You know, in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, it talks about the people at Berea, how they were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the Word of God with all what? Readiness of mind. You know, are you ready to obey? You know, parents, when you tell your children something to do, and you know that they're ready to do it, and you can tell them something to do, and boom, it's going to happen. You know, it makes it a lot easier on you, doesn't it? And that's how we are to receive the Word of God, with all readiness of mind, ready to put it in practice, not resisting it. You know, it's the key to success. In Psalm chapter 1, it talks about meditating on the Word of God, and we find it's the key to stability in life. It's the key to stability in life. It says, you know, verse number 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the what? The law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Okay, and it shows us why somebody would meditate on God's word. Because they what? They delight in it. You know, it says in Psalm 119, if you believe it's verse 97, oh, how love I thy law, it is my what? Meditation all the day. You know, the problem, the reason we don't meditate on God's word like we should is because we don't love it like we should. And if we delighted in it, we would what? We would think about it. You know, what's your, you know, maybe you have something that you really enjoy. What do you do? Is it hard to think about that? No, it's easy to think about it. And if we really, you know, we need to pray and we need to ask God to give us a delight in His Word that we might meditate on it. And what does it say in verse 3? And He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You want stability in life, you need to be meditating on God's Word. You know, why is our educational system so messed up? Because God's Word is taken out of it. It's the key to success. It's the key to real stability in life. Why do we live in such an unstable world that needs all these drugs to keep people stable? Because we don't have the Word of God. But if people would begin to meditate on God's Word and allow God's Word to change their thinking, the Bible says they'd have a stable life. They'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. You know, when the drought comes, when the storms of life come, that tree is going to be standing. And whatsoever he doeth shall what? Shall prosper. Find it's the key to stability in life. Notice meditating on God's word will help us with. Go over to Psalm 119. You know, in Psalm 119, in verse number 23, we find that we can be worried or preoccupied by what others are saying about us or by what God is saying. Psalm 119, verse 23. It says, princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. You know, when people are out there saying things about you, saying negative things about you, saying incorrect things about you, saying wrong things about you, what do you think about? I know what it's easy to think about. It's easy to think about what those people are saying about you. And in your mind, you come up with all the reasons why that person's wrong. And maybe in your mind, you think about all the things you would say to that person if you met them, you know, face to face, and maybe you wouldn't say it face to face, but what you wish you could say to that person. You know, but how did the psalmist respond? Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did what? Did meditate in thy statutes. He didn't take his time. He didn't waste his time thinking about the opinions of other people. He spent his time thinking about God's opinions. Thinking about the truth of God's word. You know, what that person says about you may be a lie. And you might be able to think, I know I'm right. But guess what? Think about God's word, and everything you think about will be right. So instead of worrying about what other people are saying, which it can be so easy to do, he spent his time meditating on God's word. You know, verse number 78. You know, it can prevent us by being worried about what others are saying about us. Verse number 78, it says, let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. There was no reason for them to do against the psalmist what they were doing. There was no cause for it. But notice his response. He says, but I will meditate in thy precepts. You know, people are doing wrong things to you. You don't have to worry about what you're going to do back to him. You know what? You can let God take care of it. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. You know, instead of worrying about what needs to be done to that person, what does the psalmist do? He says, but I will meditate in thy precepts. It can prevent us from being preoccupied with the wrongs that other people are doing to us. Our mind needs to be occupied by the Word of God. You know, it can help us with so many issues in life if we will just occupy our minds with God's Word. You know, great peace have they that love thy law, and what? And nothing shall offend them. You know, the psalmist here, people are doing bad things against him. You know, people were saying bad things about him. But instead of spending his time worrying about what people were saying or doing against him, what did he do? He meditated on God's Word. And why did he meditate on God's Word? Because he loved God's Word. And what happened? Guess what? He wasn't offended. He wasn't set back spiritually by what somebody else did. He was able to continue to move forward. So we need to have a mind occupied by the will of God. We need to have a mind that's occupied by serving God. But let's go to Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 37. We find here that we need to have a mind occupied by the love of God, or love for God. Matthew 22, verse 37. It says, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Go over to Mark chapter 12. Mark 12, verse 30. Mark 12 and verse number 30. It says, And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. You know, do you love God with all your mind? I'll read Luke 10, verse 27. It says, And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. You know, do you think God thought it pretty important that we would love him with all our mind? Well, I think so. He obviously repeated it, didn't he? We are to love God with all our minds. You know, if we are honest this morning, you know, do we love God? Do you love God with all your mind? What a challenging thing. Loving God with all our mind. It ought to be something that occupies our mind. But lastly, I'd like us to see, fifthly, we need to have a mind occupied by the ways of God. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Lamentations chapter 3. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 3. We need to have a mind occupied by the ways of God. In other words, by how God works, His ways, what He has done, what He will do. Notice what it says in Lamentations 3, beginning in verse 21. He says, This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. So you think of that verse number 21. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. You know, what did he say in verse 18? And I said, My strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. You know, if we are thinking the wrong thoughts, hope in life is going to be gone. And so it's important that our mind is occupied by the ways of God. Now, obviously, the greatest hope that we can have this morning is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. That expectation of eternal life. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross. He paid the penalty for our sin. And you know, if you don't know about Christ, then you're hopeless. There is no hope. And you need to turn your mind to the ways of God. And that He sent Jesus Christ to this earth to die on the cross for your sin. For those that were without hope. But now in Christ Jesus, we have hope. We have a future. It's not a maybe. A lot of times we say hope and it's maybe. But hope in the Bible is sure expectation of a future event. Looking forward to a future event that is going to take place, not that might take place. And that hope ultimately is found in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for us at Calvary. That He became sin for us. He took upon Himself the sin of the world. You know, He said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? As He took upon Himself our sin. And that is where the hope of mankind is found, is in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He accomplished for us at Calvary. And without Christ today, you are hopeless. You don't have hope. Because He is the only one that can satisfy the just and righteous demands of a holy God for your sin. And without Christ, you have no hope. And we need to have minds that are occupied by the ways of God. And here was this the writer here. My hope, he says in verse 18, is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. But verse 20 said, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I what? Will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. These are the ways of God that we need to dwell upon. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. You know, we need to what? We need to have our mind occupied by the ways of God. As for God, His what? His ways are perfect. And if we get our minds off of how God operates, then our lives become hopeless. Because without Christ, we have no hope. But with Christ, we have all hope. And we need to recognize that God's ways are perfect. You know, His compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Not just some mornings, but every morning. You know, great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that what? That wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. You know, do you believe that God is a good God? I think most would agree with that, that God is a good God. And obviously He is, because the Bible says that God is a good God. And we need to have our minds occupied by the ways of God. Take your Bibles, please turn to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26 and verse number 3 says, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, is leaning upon, is resting on, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. It says, trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city. He layeth it low, he layeth it low, even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. But verse 7, the way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early, for when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. You know, Isaiah here, as he's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you know, it says, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. You know, our minds need to be stayed on who? On God, on his ways, on how he works. You know, God promises that he'll keep us in what? Perfect peace. When our mind is what? When it's leaning upon him. When it's upholded by him. Whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusteth in thee. You know, this morning, is your mind occupied by the ways of God? Are you recognizing that his ways are perfect? You know, when that takes place, then what? As we trust in him, he can fill our lives with his peace because we recognize that everything he does is just and it is good. You know, what is your mind occupied by this morning? There are many things that can steal our thoughts. There are many things that we can rest our thoughts in. You know, but God wants our minds to be occupied by his ways. God wants our minds to be occupied by his will. God wants our minds to be occupied by a love for him. God wants our minds to be occupied by living for his glory. You know, God wants our minds to be occupied by his word. You know, if things have taken the rightful place that these ought to have in our minds, then we need to, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, you know, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Does the Lord have control of your mind today? Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time that we could spend in your word today. Lord, I pray that it would be helpful to each one that is here. And Lord, may you help us to think thoughts that would be honoring and glorifying to your name. Lord, we know that you love us. And Lord, I pray that we would understand this morning that your plan is the best plan for our lives. And may we fill our mind with that which you would want it to be filled with. And Lord, I pray that you would just accomplish your will now in each one of our lives. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed.